We're going to go to the book of 2 Kings. Let's stand together for the reading of God's word, chapter number 6. We're going back to these great warriors of the Lord. And watch this story and pay close attention to it. Now, the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." So he was planning a strategy with his main generals and captains. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down here." So the man of God had a word from the Lord to warn the Israelis, right? But the king of Syria was making a plot and a plan. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So don't monkey around with the Holy Spirit, folks, right? Father, thank you for who you are. We thank you for the plans you have for us. They are good, even though at times we go through pain to achieve them because we're growing and stretching. Thank you. I say thank you for those times because your purposes are coming to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. You have an advantage over your adversaries. I said, you have an advantage over your adversaries. The Syrians were coming up with a plan to overtake Israel, but they could not sneak one of those past a true follower of God. No matter what the king of Syria was plotting and planning, he couldn't get one by this incredible interventionist that God had on the scene. The man of God was granted insight to know in advance the plotting of the adversary of Israel. And God would tell him, this is what the adversary is planning. One revelation here, there are people of God sold out fully to him who are not playing games in our day, but we're serious about what God wants to do. And because of this, God is beginning to act. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling this down all the way to my toes. God's doing some things today. Look, he's heard the prayers of his people crying out for intervention, and God is already on the move intervening. And if we'll continue to respond in the right way, the momentum will build in the favor of the people of the Lord. God's beginning to act. He's moving in the earth and responding to those who are fully committed to him. This is for those fully committed to him. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Well, God doesn't want us to play games with him. He doesn't want us to just give him a little piece of the pie. He wants us to give him the whole pie. Here I am. You have everything of who I am. There's a hunger for God being birthed in us. It's a hunger for his righteousness. This is no longer about entertainment. It's about God's presence. I'd rather be led than entertained. We're hungry for God, and we're going to go to places in God our predecessors never got to. And as we fast and pray, we'll come into an alignment with God's truth. Listen, we begin to shed the fleshly ways and the protocols that we lean on instead of leaning on the Lord. Now listen to this. Never make light of the king, even in your thoughts. And don't make fun of the powerful, even in your bedroom. For a little bird might deliver your message and tell them what you said. You ought to write that one down somewhere and hang that up in your room, okay? Where you think you're safe and you think, God, no one's ever going to know about this. No. Don't make fun of the powerful, even in your own bedroom, for a little bird might deliver your message and tell them what you said. This guy who wrote this, he experienced this. And God, listen, God pulled his chain, got his attention. The Holy Spirit knows how to bring warning in advance. And after I preach, someone will say, you know, well, that was for me, Pastor. You must have read my mail. No, he was in your house. I just deliver the mail. That's all I do. He'll give me insight, and through that insight, a tailor-made word will come out just designed for you. I may or may not even know that. And in this season of God's restoration, expect resistance and expect opposition. The enemy's not going to just roll over. The adversary is not going to go quietly. When you make spiritual progress, the enemy is intended on opposing you. He has a plan to hinder you. You make one step of success, and the enemy is triggered coming after you. You know, I was looking at some of the principles of God's word, you know, and looking at what God's done historically. I've been spoiled. And the spoiling of what I've experienced from a child in my childhood days, under the ministry of some of the greatest flaming evangelists you've ever heard, on fire for God, kind of ruined me. And here's how it ruined me. Things that some people only hear about in a college class or out of a textbook or maybe once in a while from a pulpit, I got to experience. I got to see firsthand. And what God was doing at that time, listen, in history, I've never been able to shake the conviction, the passion, and the expectation that my God is still going to do it again today. He's going to move today like he's done before. And those who seek true renewal, a complete moral awakening in our land, there's a reformation coming to the United States of America. And maybe you've got some hunger in your heart for this. You walk around with this unearthly frustration. It's what I call it. I mean, I'm like a caged lion. And I've got this stuff going on inside of me. The Holy Spirit is like shut up in my bones, like the prophet. And he says, I swore not to say anything about this, but I can't help myself. It just comes roaring out of me because God's put a word deep down in my spirit. You hear the cry of some wonderful, invisible event that wants to be born, that God wants to give birth to in our culture. And let's face it, the thought of a nationwide penetration of righteousness, of true reformation, seems unrealistic. How's that going to happen with the messes the politicians have made in our country and the moral failure that has, the decline that's happened in the culture? We can't remember, most of us, a time in America when mayors of major cities like New York and Los Angeles or Denver or Portland would proclaim God's Spirit is at work in our city and would close city offices and businesses so people could go to churches and pray. Most of us will not remember because we were not alive when those days happened. Those days are coming back again. The sheer magnitude of what the revivalists report to us, so amazing when you read the stories, it leaves, how can that have happened? We can't relate to that. It's stunning disbelief that God could work in such power that these entire cities could be affected by what he's... How could God overtake entire cities and reverse the course of the people, of the nation? And many who don't believe it or don't want to believe it dismiss it as some exaggeration, that somebody's just made up some stories that never happened. And the look of evil in our time, The magnitude of evil is unbelievable. The rampant lawlessness, the audacity to say, you know, we have the right to take the lives of the unborn anytime we choose, whether in or out of the womb. How in the world did we ever get here? How could God ever turn this? And to witness the intense hatred toward godliness and the vicious storm that some churches are facing today. I want to see the kind of courage God says, the kind of faith that says it must happen, it will happen, and it will not be stopped. It won't stop. And here's how that all comes together. First of all, we have to confess that God has done this before. This would not be the first time. In the history of our country, in the history of his people, biblically, this is not the first time God has shaken an entire nation to its knees. In Psalm 44, it says, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us the deeds you did in their days, in days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand. You turned everything by your mighty hand when people began to bend their knee, humble themselves, and call on your name. God, you did it before. God, you can and will do it again." So we need to ask God for a new page, a new chapter in American history. Habakkuk put it like this: "O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy." So God has always mercy waiting whenever we call on his name. And church, it's time for the churches of America, starting with ours, to call on the name of the Lord and believe him to do again what he did in days of old. Amen? Amen. Let's redig the wells of our fathers. Amen. In our flesh, we think we're intellectually smart enough to do these things on our own. And that's been the problem with the churches in the Western culture. You know, we got it down. We know how to put a church service together. We know how to make it happen. That's kind of our mentality. And if we're not careful, without discernment and understanding of how the Holy Spirit works, you know, we're going to fall into the trap that the enemy sets for us. Spiritual discernment is a spiritual gift. Spiritual discernment is a spiritual gift. And we have to learn to subdue the flesh. We have to learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Listen, and when we begin to do that, the devil will begin to have board meetings about us. Yeah. There will be a cost for spiritual development because the enemy will try to take us out. He loves to try to destroy everything God's trying to do. When you're ready to be used of God, when he begins to work in your life, your enemy will plot an attack. Have you ever experienced that? Well, you will. These are ugly days in our culture, designed to trap the child of God with depression and despair and a sense that we need to go into retreat. No, this is the time to go forward and charge, not retreat. We've entered a season in America, probably the worst that Christians have known, except thank God we have a president in the White House who has spoken out more boldly about the taking of the unborn's lives than any president I can remember in my lifetime, who has spoken out loudly about the freedom that Christians should have to speak the word of God and preach without fear from their pulpits what God lays on their hearts. A president for the first time that I can remember who's gone and made a declaration about the nation of Israel in such boldness that no presidents in my lifetime have ever had the boldness to be able to do. So I'm thankful for that. But yet we're in the middle of a great, and I think he senses that crisis, and that's why he's speaking the way he is. We've entered a season like that, but it's ironic. In the core of the heart of God's people, there's a remnant who hold to the convictions, listen, that while we may be under one of the greatest attacks we've ever experienced, God's about to open up the windows of heaven and pour out the greatest blessings we've ever experienced. But remember this, the enemy is a roaring lion who goes about. It's a trap. Just be careful, because the enemy is not stupid. He knows how to set traps, and he wants you out of commission, and he wants to sideline as many people as he can so the minute you step up. But we've got to learn to become the catalysts. The hellish events of today cannot change or consume us. We must be steadfast and unmovable. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God will be strong and carry out exploits. Let's declare God's power over our circumstances. He'll restore your energy. He'll restore your immune system. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, who heals all my diseases, forgives all my iniquities, crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy, satisfies our mouth with good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. It's time for us not only to quote, greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world, but to also confess, greater is he who is in me than what is happening in the world. We will not be afraid, the psalmist said, of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. God wants to give us supernatural response. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you believe that? I said, do you believe that? So just about the time we're ready to be used of God and God begins to work in us, the adversary will plot and attack. We need spiritual insight so we don't get derailed in the pursuit of what God has for us. It's why we need the real deal. I said the real deal. And some people think, well, we can just dig deeper into God and everything's going to be cool. Everything will be good. No, if the spirit of fear intimidates you, you'll get paralyzed. Moving forward is God's plan. Moving in the direction of the adversary. But problems do arise, and we need to be realistic about that. The enemy's not going to roll over. That's why we don't want a house of entertainment. We need a warfare posture that we know together we can overcome the adversary. In God's restoration of his church, he's restoring biblical order. You know, let me back up a minute. We need a warfare posture. I was just reading a little bit more about the life of Alexander Dowie. And when God began to use him in healing ministries, and when he came out of, I believe it was Australia, and moved to the United States of America and settled in Chicago and started having meetings because God began to move on his heart that miracles were for today, not just for the bygone era of biblical times. Did you know he got arrested more than once? I think it was 3 times for practicing medicine without a license in the city of Chicago. Yeah. And every time, yeah, Chicago, it hasn't changed much since, yeah. Anyhow, 3 times at least. And he beat the rap every time because the courts threw that thing out and said, no, he's not practicing medicine. He's not administering any kind of drugs to anybody. He's praying for the sick and they're getting well. So what's wrong with that? And his meeting got so large that they couldn't, there wasn't a place to hold him anymore. So he moved about 40 miles north and founded Zion City, out of which came some of the greatest Pentecostal leadership in the entire move of God that affected the whole United States. I mean, some of the greatest evangelists and ministers came out of that movement. And there was opposition, is my point. He just didn't have the red carpet rolled out for him, and everything just went smoothly. So we've got to take, listen, we've got to take a warfare posture and know the enemy's going to rise up and try to stop what God's doing. But in God's restoration of his church, he's restoring biblical order. We can have people with great levels of ability, but if people won't be led, they insist on their own way, then the church gets diluted. It gets watered down. The power gets diluted. In Israel, they were blessed. The time I read this passage to you, because Elisha, the prophet, was in their camp. He had served his leader so well, he received a double portion. And he doubled the ministry of Elijah. So in order for God to lead us to purpose, everyone has to be listening to one sound. We can't be diluted and scattered all over the map. You know, I was listening to a song the other day, and looking at the words, I listened to the trumpet of Jesus while the world hears a different sound. I march to the drumbeat of God Almighty while others just wander around. Well, I'm a member of the Holy Ghost traveling band, moving on up to a better land, because I hear the voice of the supernatural singing like only those who know him can. Amen. We need one sound. There's all kinds of sounds now. We've got to have ears to hear. The only sound that we need to focus on and allow to have our attention. God calls us out of diversity into unity. We are a body, interconnected and interdependent, and we all need each other in the body of Christ. 120 received the Holy Spirit the same way on the day of Pentecost, but 120 didn't get to preach on the day of Pentecost. Only Peter was selected to do it. And when the word of God is delivered to the body of Christ under the anointing of the Holy Spirit by God's appointed leader, if the body receives the truth, there is spiritual progress and development. When you receive the word in faith, believing, there is observable change that takes place. But as you grow, you're going to be targeted by the enemy. So you've got to tighten it up and you've got to toughen it up, because the enemy is going to attack. The enemy will hurl stuff in your direction. And if you're spiritually immature, you're going to lose those encounters and those skirmishes. We have to become warriors who are mentally tough, because even people you trusted will turn on you. I can say that because we've lived long enough to see it. That's not theory. Reality. So number one, the resurfacing of men of God will increase our potential for a safe journey. We must have mature spiritual leadership in a day when there is such widespread spiritual illiteracy. Leadership with spiritual discernment, with the ability to know what the Holy Spirit is saying. If Israel didn't have Elisha during the time that I just read to you, defeat would have been the epitaph for the entire nation. God used Elisha to give Israel the advantage over the king of Syria and his forces. We learn how to navigate through rough seas without losing our cool. Mature experience. And when you comprehend a last day, a great awakening of the last day, all kinds of stuff is going to happen. Some from without and some from within. There'll be aberration and there'll be abuse of the gifts of the Spirit. There's got to be leadership that's mature enough and discerning enough to know when it's the Spirit of God and when it's the flesh. See, things are not perfect every time I get up in the morning. So I know it's going to happen every single day. There are going to be challenges. So I prepare as soon as I get up in the morning, and then I keep moving through the day no matter what I face. We allow the enemy to stir stuff up. Then we destroy our own progress because we get distracted, because we're constantly being pulled away to go here, go there, go do. Tests and battles resurface us, sanding down the rough edges, sanding off the things that need to go away. They make us, when we're sanded down, we become more dependent on God. I don't want to just start well in the way that God shaped my life and my future. I want to finish well. Listen, some people just come and they just want to sit in church. Others come and plug in. Your pastor wants to make sure those who are plugged in don't miss out on the opportunities God's providing for our victory. We're not here waiting for the service to be over. No, we all need to be plugged in. My responsibility, everybody who's plugged in gets to see what God's trying to say and gets to hear it and then ingest it and let it assimilate it so it becomes a part of who we are. I will not allow the tiny foolish stuff to derail me. We've got to be careful when we're navigating. The enemy will set obstacles out here to sink us on the journey. When the enemy stirs up someone to play church games, or be deceived by some perceived offense. Don't get caught up in that vortex, or it will swallow you up. So here's an incoming text. Though we're all called to change, some people will not change. They refuse the process. That's reality. I don't like that. That troubles my heart. It sorrows me. But although we are all called to change, some people will not change, and they refuse the process. We become weakened when we refuse the process of maturity. We don't get stronger, we're weaker. We become diluted. We don't become concentrated. The enemy is satisfied when all people want out of a church service is a teacher. People attend, but they don't walk away with victory. We should empower you to walk in victory. If all we have is a notebook but no power, what good is that? I want you to take notes, but I want you to walk in power. And I want you to walk in authority, because the Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh, and it's for you to use no matter what you're facing in every circumstance. There should be miracles in every circumstance where we find ourselves, where people are connecting and believing and praying for each other. We ought to see miracles happening. Those who hung around Jesus walked in power. Those mentored by Paul walked in power. They were not quitters. They were fearless. And second, there's no opposing adversary God will not expose for the advancement of his people. God will expose every plot sent to stop the advancement of his church, because the enemy always overplays his hand. Always, always. It's like the fake news we heard about this morning. It's like, yeah. They so overplayed that thing that they're all walking around with egg on their face. Right? Just like in the text. The enemy so overplayed his hand, and God said, I'm going to warn my people. Nothing you're going to be able to do to hurt them. Listen, God will expose every plot. You see, the way God designed his church, when it functions in kingdom order, the benefit is the advancement of his people. His people get to advance, not decline. Demonic principalities presiding over our community, listen to this, have used personalities to prevent the advancement of people. Now, I'm stepping into some very tender territory, but I'm going to be very bold, and I'm going to step here. Demonic principalities, spiritual entities presiding over this community, have used personalities to prevent the advancement of people. God's for the advancement of his people, not for the holding back of his people. In Calvary, the worst deceit is self-deceit. When you're blinded by your own thought process, and then you believe that what you're doing is good for everybody. And those principalities seem to gravitate when people have a lust for political power. You can see it nationally. You can see it in the state. You can see it in the communities. You can see it wherever there's lust. Listen, that lust for political power has grown, I believe, greater than lust for money. It's a lust for power. Now listen, if you will spend several million dollars to get a job that only pays you $150,000 a year, you've got a serious problem with lust for political power. Okay? So those principalities will gravitate toward those who lust for political power so they can utilize them, and they get used to hinder people rather than advance them. God's all about freedom. Our nation and its founding fathers were all about freedom, not taking away your right to be who you are, not trying to control every decision you make in life, not trying to tell you you can't eat a hamburger for breakfast. Who are you to tell me I can't have a hamburger for breakfast? Don't come to my house with that, because you won't be greeted really well. entities have never wanted the people of our county to move forward. I want to destroy those entities, the spiritual wickedness in high places, because there's an oppression keeping people down in our community. And God, listen, God will use his own people to affect breakthrough. Breakthrough will not, listen to me, breakthrough is not going to come through musical chairs at the county or city levels. The church is designed to affect change for the advancement of God's people. And the people are all blessed when there's advancement. Not every person who came to America in the early days of our settling were believers in God, but because the leadership put God first in the decisions they made about freedom, even those who were not believers knew they were being blessed by God and by the leadership God had resurrected and raised up to lead this new nation. So everybody's blessed when leadership puts God first. And then says, what's the best thing for the people? Not what powers that be are influencing us and pressuring us and trying to hold us back. Calvary Christian Center, we should be impacting our community. We should taste like salt and we should be seen like light. While a new bridge is being built, thank God, finally, after all these years, the church should be building bridges to people all over our region. We are to progressively move the power of darkness out of the path so people in darkness have hope and know no matter where they've been and how deep the hole they've fallen into, there's still God's great mercy that will find them and reach them and pull them back up and say, you are mine now. We'll walk together. When Connect groups start impacting outside of the four walls of our church and they begin to reach beyond their little groups wherever they're meeting, not just on the campus but off the campus, and they begin to realize we have a mission to accomplish. We've all got friends and connections. We have the connections here in our group, but we've got connections outside the connections in our group, and we're going to do everything in our power to connect with the people who don't know the Lord, who maybe claim that they're Christians but are not, in fact, serving the Lord. When we start having those kinds of impacts, we affect government, we affect education, we affect families, we affect the community's climate. That's where the real climate change is needed. It's needed throughout our community. We need a climate change here. Amen. And the enemy will be stirred up when we begin the process of being salt and light. Oh, yeah, because those who have lust for power don't unwrap their fingers from it willingly. But we have to be wise enough to expose the enemy's works before he has a shot at tripping us up. Some people back off when there's the slightest little opposition. I get excited when I know the devil's trying to stop me. It means I'm pleasing the master. It means the master's pleased with my effort. It doesn't bother me when I know I have an enemy. It bothers me when I don't know who the enemy is. And just because some people walk with you doesn't mean they're with you. Keep your eyes open. This is what Paul wrote. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. That was a pretty dead bunch he was talking to, right? He says, climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. There's no opposing force God will not expose for the advancement of people. God wants people free. That's why he sent Jesus to liberate, not to live in tyranny. The enemy, our adversary, the devil, is the ultimate tyrannist. He just wants everybody totally under complete control with no options for liberty. And those that buy into that mentality, they have the same agenda to bring the entire nation under that kind of tyranny. Whatever those forces are that hinder progress, maturity, and advancement of the people of God, whatever it is that's trying to stop that, God is about to expose. In fact, he's just been doing it in the last couple of weeks. He's exposing those who in those secret places have been plotting to tear down the liberties and the freedoms that we've all come to enjoy in our culture. And he's going to keep exposing more and more and more. You just saw the tip of the iceberg in the last 2 weeks before he's done, because people are praying that honesty and truth will be known throughout the land. Amen? And I've got no agenda. Listen to me. I've got no agenda at Calvary Christian Center but to be all God called us to be, his church, to be his church, which means we are to love and to live and to lead in the place that God's planted us. We love people. We want to help people. We want to give people the tools to reach their dreams. Community transformation through the love and power of Jesus Christ. That's how communities are changed. That's how they've always been changed. And we must have the anointing to see change. And that's what we're going to ask God for. For more of his presence and power. The anointing destroys the yoke. And we have yokes that need to be destroyed. And the yoke needs to be broken and destroyed over and over in places where it's just locked down tight, where nothing can seem to move it. And humanly, nothing can. But the anointing destroys the yoke. The word that's used there in the Hebrew is so powerful. It means that the yoke is shattered in so many pieces that the ones who put it there in the first place can't find all the pieces and reassemble them again. They are absolutely obliterated. So the yoke cannot be refastened. And we need to have the anointing to see that kind of change. Programs don't work. But when the anointing is present, change happens. We leave better than we came. We become connected to each other. We are empowered. We encourage one another. And thirdly, those who oppose your God-given potential will be disturbed as their plans are exposed. Oh, oh yeah. And you're going to see a lot of them just going to be flipping out when they're recorded on TV, when their plans come to the surface and you see what's been behind the stuff that's been going on. The power of the Holy Spirit at work will disturb the adversary, will agitate him. The king of Syria became disturbed. Why? Because they knew what he was plotting. They already had the advance information. They already had been given by the prophet of God the plot of the enemy. Because listen, do we have a mole in our circle here? I mean, we're gathering in the highest level of security in the White House, the Situation Room, where you can't even bring your cell phones or any kind of devices whatsoever, and we're plotting against Israel, and they're finding everything out that we're doing, and they know in advance before we ever can execute the plan. Do we have a mole in here? Is there somebody running out of here and blabbing all this? Who's giving them this information? And listen, what God did then, God is doing today. Listen, his power, there's no place he can't find the information. People who are thinking culturally, you know, this is the cultural mindset. Did you tell Pastor what I said? Did you tell him? No one told me. No one told me. Here's who told me. It was the little bird. But he's a powerful bird. And he knows. He knows. No. Sometimes I don't know why I move in certain directions, but it's the little bird that I've come to rely on who motivates me and whispers in my ear. And I just want to obey him and learn to be very sensitive to his voice. Remember this, God still speaks to his servants. Many are not accustomed to that principle in the Western church. They don't realize that because the gifts of the Spirit have been so sidelined and shelved that that's unexpected. They're accustomed to someone teaching in a classroom but not knowing what's going on in the other rooms because they have no spiritual discernment. But in his kingdom, you have both of those. You have the ability to be in the room and teaching the truth and at the same time functioning under the anointing and discerning power of the Spirit. And one who teaches in the flow of the Holy Spirit, feeding him a stream of information. And if there's any gift anybody in full-time ministry ever needed, it's certainly the gift of discerning of spirits. The king of Syria was greatly troubled by this. And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." Well, Pastor, how'd you know I was having to deal with that? How'd you know that? Did someone tell you? Did someone rat me out? How in the world did you find that out? This is the way it works in his kingdom. Man, it's for your benefit when that happens. So if God is trying to help reveal or surface something you're dealing with, it's not to hurt you, it's to help you. Read God's word, it's all there. There are things he shows me. Sometimes it's not the moment for me to confront somebody because his mercy says to me, see if the individual will grow past that issue. And here's the timing. And when that timing has expired, he will say, now, go tell them. Tell them. Most in the body of Christ are not enemies to the purposes of God. But if we don't allow the Holy Spirit access, people can become enemies to themselves. They harm their own destiny and harm their own futures and can affect the outcome of others by unwillingness to allow the Holy Spirit to change them. And there's impact, domino effect. And in these last days, God is restoring the church. It's what Peter preached. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah, for he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. So when I give a Sunday night altar call, just about all of God's people ought to be running forward. Why? For alignment. For lining up with God's plans to restore us power and authority once again in the culture, to have our place, to not be relegated to a corner somewhere. You just stay over there and do your thing and stay out of our business. No, no, no. That was never the intention of God for his people. We need to learn to connect when we come forward. We need to be praying for each other. We need to stand with each other. We need to walk away from here not only personally empowered, but collectively empowered because we have connected. We've shared something to snack on afterwards. We've talked about the things of God and how we can work together. The word restoration means bringing back to a former position or condition. God wants the condition of his church when he takes her away to be like her when she was birthed. Amen. And in these last days, God wants to restore the church's intimate relationship with him and empowerment of his spirit so we can spread the gospel of his kingdom, bring salvation, bring healing, deliverance, and abundance. Restoration means stirring the church to once again to live by the direction of the Holy Spirit. No longer relying on our own strength or our own techniques in serving God, but calling on the fruit of the Spirit to prepare the church for the return of Jesus Christ. And what's our responsibility? Personal cooperation with the Holy Spirit by learning to pray and to fast and to wait on God. These are essential tools that will enable us, positioning us to be experiencing the breakthroughs in the spiritual realms, in the heavenlies just above us, where the battle is being fought and where those principalities and powers need to be torn down and brought into subjection to the word of the living God. Seeing the restoration as a result of families, restoration of marriages, restoration of people's finances, everything that needs to be healed or repaired, given new life because of the presence of the Lord. The early church reached the point of such divinely appointed directions of the Holy Spirit that it says there was not one needy person among them. Among now thousands of people, every need was being met because of the power of the Holy Spirit working in the hearts and lives of people who committed themselves fully to Jesus Christ. And God has spoken this to us. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for the rain he sends demonstrates his faithfulness. Once more, the autumn rains will come, as well as the rains of spring. The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain, and the presses will overflow with new wine and olive oil. They've been in drought. They've been impeded. All kinds of migrating bugs had come into the camp of the Israelis and chewed up everything, destroyed their crops, and did great damage to their harvest. The Lord says, I'm going to give you back what you lost to the swarming locusts and the hopping locusts and the stripping locusts and the cutting locusts. It was I who sent this great destroying army against you. Why did God allow that? Because they were arrogant and they were serving other gods and they refused to bow to the one and only and say, God, we are dependent on you. Once again, you will have all the food you want, and you will praise the Lord your God who does these miracles for you. Calvary, we are to respond to God's mercy, but we'll never receive from God until we humble ourselves and bow our hearts before him. Forgiveness only comes when we humble ourselves and say, I was wrong. I was wrong. Forgive me, Lord. Nothing is wrong with being set on the right track, with being corrected. We heard that this morning. It's all good when we receive correction so that we can be productive in this life. Then there's no progress without pain. Getting where I am has been a painful journey, I can tell you. But the way I get relief is I remain in the presence of God. And that's where I find balm in Gilead. So Calvary, I am for you. I am praying and working for your freedom, for your deliverance, for your healing, for financial breakthrough, for entities to come crashing down, for job opportunities, so that your children and your children's children can remain in our area and make a great living. But that can't be achieved as long as we maintain bad attitudes in our own spirits and we think that we somehow humanly can fix everything that's wrong around us and in our community. So looking at this, here's what we need to do. There will be resistance, but there will also be promptings and motivations by the Holy Spirit. And yeah, it's been tight, but it's right. And God will test you to see if he can trust you. He will. My resolution is this. I'm going to pass the test with your help. I want to resolve to pass the test with joy. Even when he says, I don't like that. Stop it. With joy. Okay, Lord, I'll correct that. God will challenge our unbelief, and what God asks of us is not difficult when we see the fields all white and ready to harvest, and he needs laborers to go out there and receive them. And then beyond that, we see eternity, and we see the hundreds of thousands of people influenced for the gospel, who stand before Jesus and give thanks forever for redemption, for forgiveness, for a change of heart, for an opportunity to receive hope when there was no hope. Listen, folks, it's worth it. Whatever a little pain. Paul put it like this. He said, this light affliction, it's nothing. Now, here's a guy who's been beaten 3 times with 39 stripes each time. Who would have killed anybody? Who's been beaten with rods? Who's been shipwrecked? Who's been turned in by his own people in the kingdom? By enemies outside the kingdom? Who's been arrested, left in a dungeon, bleeding, stoned and left for dead? And he says, this light affliction, what is it compared to the eternal weight of his glory? So, whatever the Holy Spirit's trying to correct in us, let's receive it with joy. Let's pass the test with good attitudes. Listen, God will challenge our unbelief. And if we don't challenge our unbelief, we get stuck right where we've been, and we stay there. We can deceive ourselves thinking, well, we're just going to go higher just because we've got the ticket and we're on the cruise ship. We're going to go higher. But if we can't handle the test God allows, we're not going to go higher. We're not going to show any growth or improvement. We're going to disappoint God and fail our purpose. And I don't want to disappoint God. And I don't want to fail my purpose. When the Word of God is spoken, it's the breath of God. And it quickens us to get up and do something. Because it's quick and it's powerful and it's alive. And it's been preached tonight. And my prayer, every member of the family of God will reach your full potential. And your purpose. And everyone will be contributors to the betterment of the good of the whole body, because everyone who says, I belong to Jesus, has a contribution to make to the whole body of Christ. And no one comes to the table without something to give. You may not be under contract to be on a TV program. That may not be your purpose. You might not build the biggest business in the community, or maybe you will. But whatever it is that God's gifted you to do, whether it be small or great, depending on how we see things, all of them are important to the body, and everyone can do something to contribute to the whole body of Christ. Everyone. There are no exceptions. So watch this. What shall we say to these things? What things? The tribulations, the threat of sword, demonic attack, principalities doing everything they can to stop us. What's going to separate us? What's going to tear us apart from God? Are any of these things going to do that? No, none of them are capable of doing that unless we just capitulate and throw in the towel and walk away. But when we put our head down, equipped with the full armor of God, what do we say to these things? Tribulations, peril, sword, all kinds of things that come against us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Come on, Calvary Christian Center. God is for us. Praise God. Praise God. God is for us. Everybody stand with me, and I want you to say that with a loud voice. God is for us. Say it again. God is for us. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. And I want as many as you can to come on down here tonight, and let's surrender our hearts to him. Let's once again commit ourselves to him, fully again to him, and say, well, I've done that many, many times. That's fine. Keep doing it. because it never gets old. And here's why it never gets old. Because there's always some other point in my life that God needs to address. None of us standing in this room tonight are perfect. None of us have achieved. None of us have attained. We are pressing toward the mark for the prize. It's a never-ending journey. There's always something new the Holy Spirit can find to deal within us. And I want him to find it, and I want him to deal with it, and I want to surrender it to him. So I'm asking as many as you, if possible, to come on down here and open your hearts to the brightness of the presence of the Holy Spirit and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Holy Spirit. Light of heaven, would you shine deeply into my spirit? And if there's any root of negativity in my heart, if there's any root of bitterness in my spirit, if there's any root of addiction in my life, if there's anything, Lord, that's displeasing to you, I want to surrender it to the feet, at the feet of Jesus' cross tonight, and I want to crucify it. I want to put it to death. I want to crucify the old man and his flesh. I want a full, complete new man, new woman in Christ Jesus. So make your way. This is the opportunity that all of us have. Here we are, asking God for help. I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to say, God, I need your help. I've got to have your help. Come on, lift your hands and ask God for help.